Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Do you like your tabletop RPGs to be grim, gritty, and grounded? If so, then Legend of the Bones is the podcast for you. A hybrid of dark fantasy audio drama and old-school solo D&D. In Legend of the Bones, the dice rule. There'll be no rerolls, no fudging the dice, no metacurrency. The roll of the bones will determine the character's destiny, and no one will be spared their fate. None shall escape the destiny of Bone.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in.
Today's show, we got back-to-back episodes of Confession, a series that only ran for one season in 1953, but had all the makings of a great show. Unlike other detective shows of the time, started each episode with the confession of the criminal, and the rest of the episode was how those events happened. If you enjoy this episode, check out the archives for more. And if you also enjoy this podcast, please consider following, reviewing, and rating. I say it a lot, but all those small things help out the podcast in a big way. Also, while you're there, check out the descriptions for links, show information, and polls. And with all that,
please enjoy the show.
The confession you're about to hear is an actual recording.
Go ahead, please.
I make this confession of my own free will because it is true. There has not been any force or violence used upon my person to induce me to make these statements. Without promise of immunity or reward or gratuity, I confess.
You understand, of course, that your statement will be made public through the radio program Confession.
I do.
And that your name for the purpose of this broadcast will be Doris Kane.
Yes.
For what comfort you may find in so doing, you will now be allowed to tell your story. If there is comfort for your listeners, it must lie in the fact that you've been apprehended. You understand all this?
Yes, sir, I understand. In the hope that someone somewhere may benefit from my mistakes, I confess.
Listening to Confession. The case history of the woman referred to as Doris Kane is a matter of documented record. You will hear the story of her crime experience as told in her own words.
Doris Kane, please state your age.
I'm 15 years old.
And you're pregnant?
Yes, I expect my baby in 3 months.
Now go ahead with your story.
Well, I knew Jimmy was dead. Even before they told me, I knew he was dead. And I...
Suppose you try to tell it from the beginning. You lived in Cleveland?
I ran away.
But your home was there.
Yes, my mother still lives there. I lived with her.
And your father?
My father and her are separated.
What does your mother do for a living?
She sews. She does sewing.
Why did you leave home?
I don't know. Maybe. I guess because she was always treating me like a kid.
Doris? That you, Doris?
Mm-hmm.
You know what time it is.
Yeah?
12 o'clock.
I know.
Bumming around till midnight. Where were you?
Out.
Out. Where?
With some friends.
Friends like Jimmy, I suppose.
Oh, you just don't like
you
him.
You spend that money I gave you?
I still got it.
Who bought for you this evening?
Nobody.
Listen here, when I ask you a question, I want answers. Who bought for you?
Nobody. I'm going to bed.
You come back here.
What do you want?
You was out with Jimmy, wasn't you?
Oh, right. I was out with Jimmy.
Don't you give me them talking back answers.
Mom.
Where did you go?
We went bowling.
Bowling. Jimmy bought you liquor, didn't he?
Didn't have any liquor.
Don't lie to me. I could smell it when you come in. He bought you liquor, a kid like you.
I'm not a kid.
Oh. I can't do anything with you. I give up. I've done all I can. You're just no good.
It was like she said I was no good. Jimmy was at the bowling alley. He wanted me to meet him there after they closed up at 2 o'clock. To say goodbye, he said, because he was going away and I might never see him again. Then I got a crazy idea. Maybe I could go with him. I put my clothes in a box and sneaked out the back way. Jimmy was glad to see me. That was one thing about Jimmy. Always glad to see me.
Dory, I thought you weren't coming.
I wasn't.
Your mom, huh?
You know how she is.
I'd have gone crazy if you hadn't come back to say goodbye.
You never did tell me where you were going.
Well, we don't really know ourselves, just west.
I thought you were going along.
With Frankie. You know, my partner. What's in the box?
Clothes.
What for?
I'm running away.
From home? Gee, things must be rough.
Yeah. Jimmy, take me along.
Take you along? With us?
Please, Jimmy, I won't be any trouble. Honest, I won't.
Gee, I don't know.
Please, Jimmy. Please.
But we might not come back.
I don't care.
Maybe we'll never come back.
Please.
Well, maybe. Okay, why not?
Oh, thanks, Jimmy.
Sure, come on.
We went across town to the Congress Hotel, I think it was. Jimmy said he had to meet Frankie there. He waited out on the sidewalk. And then about a half an hour, a car pulled up in front of the hotel. Jimmy opened the door for me.
All right. Hop in, Dory.
Right.
I'll put your stuff in the back. Doris, this is Frank, my partner.
Hello.
You didn't say anything about bringing a girl along.
We just arranged it.
I said the two of it.
If you don't like it, let us out at the next corner.
Oh, take it easy. Don't get blisters. It's just that you didn't say anything.
Forget it, will you?
Sure. Sure, if you say she's okay, only she looks kind of young. How old are you?
14.
Your mother know what you're doing?
No.
What'll she do when she finds out?
Nobody can make me go back if I don't want to.
Well, let's not talk about it. We'll decide later. Come here, honey. Comfortable?
Frank drove fast. Jimmy put his arm around me. I felt warm inside. After a while, I fell asleep. When I woke up, it was daylight. Jimmy was sleeping. We were somewhere out in the country. Frankie didn't seem sleepy at all. He just kept driving. When Jimmy woke up about an hour later, we stopped at a little gas station. It was just this gas station, no other buildings around.
How's it look to you, Jimmy?
Fine.
It's pretty out of the way. There's no other customers.
No waiting.
That's just what I was thinking. Yeah, I'll be right back.
It's sure dead out here.
Yeah.
Frank must be tired.
Frank never gets tired, as long as he can get a fix.
He's gone inside the station.
Yeah. You know something?
What?
You're pretty.
What did you mean before about Frankie?
Hmm?
About not getting tired as long as he can get a fix.
H. You know, heroin. He's hooked on the stuff.
Oh.
No kidding, Dora. You're real pretty.
Say.
Yeah?
Where's Frank? What's keeping Frank?
I don't know. Oh, Dory. I love you, Dory.
Jimmy.
You love me?
Yes. Yes, I do, Jimmy.
Hey, I got a great idea.
What?
Why don't we get married?
Married?
Why not? Listen, honey. Frank's got something big lined up. Real big. He's taking me in with him. We'll have plenty of money. We'll get an apartment in San Francisco, maybe. How does that sound, honey?
Jimmy, it sounds wonderful.
Oh, honey.
Here comes Frank.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get rolling.
You didn't get any gas.
No.
How was it, Frank?
Not bad, not good. 50. That's all he had.
50? That's okay.
Jimmy, what is it? Jimmy, what happened? Something happened.
Take it easy, Dory. Everything's all right.
See anybody in the back?
Just a second. Nope, all clear.
Okay. Now, this ought to hold us for a while.
Jimmy!
Hey, Frank. Guess what?
Huh?
Dory and me, we're going to get married.
Married? You're both kind of young for that.
We'll tell them we're older. We'll make ourselves look older. You can give the bride away.
I'm kidding. Married, huh? Here comes the bride, big, fat, and wide.
Da 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 da.
We got the license. Then we stopped at a country judge's place and got married. Frank was the witness. By that time, it was getting towards evening. Frank was going to try to connect for some H. He said he was running out of caps. He drove Jimmy and me to a motel. It wasn't much of a honeymoon, I guess, but I was Jimmy's wife, and I didn't care where we stayed as long as we were together. You know. Wonder where they're going.
Out west, too, maybe. Happy, honey?
Jimmy, it's wonderful.
Old married people, huh?
Yeah. Jimmy, what happened?
What happened when?
At the gas station. The money Frank gave us, he got at the gas station, didn't he?
So what?
But a holdup.
He did it. We didn't do it. He did it.
I'm scared.
Dory, you mad at me?
No, I'm not mad. But Frank, he's a real dope addict, isn't he?
Yeah, he's hooked bad. If he don't score, he goes crazy.
Are you, Jimmy?
What?
Hooked.
Me hooked? Of course not.
Do you use it?
Maybe a joy pop once in a while, just for kicks. But I haven't got a habit, if that's what you mean. Just now and then.
Who's that?
Frank, probably.
I'll get it.
No, you wait here. Yes?
State police. You Mr. Kane?
Yeah, that's me.
A partner and I'd like to see you outside.
What for?
There's a gas station held up about 75 miles east of here. We're checking all late arrivals.
Hold up? I didn't have anything to do with a hold up.
Officer?
Hmm?
Officer, he didn't have anything to do with any holdup.
Stay out of this, Doris.
Well, we just got married, see? Here's our marriage license. He's in with me all day.
I see that. Huh. Just got married today, huh? Wow. Congratulations. Here you are.
Thanks.
Oh, say.
Yeah?
How old are you?
21.
Yeah. Yeah, the man they described was much older. Well, good luck, kid.
Thanks.
Part of it now. I'd lied for him. The next morning, Frank picked us up. His eyes looked funny, like he was doped or something. He said he'd found a mule. You know, someone who sells heroin? We told him about the state police, and he got mad. We went about 50 miles, and then Frank pulled up at another gas station. I was scared. Jimmy kept telling me to take it easy. Frank got out of the car and left Jimmy and me sitting there. We didn't say anything. We just sat there. Just sat there waiting. No!
Quiet. Frank?
All clear?
Yeah, all clear. Frank?
Yeah?
Did you have to kill him?
I don't like witnesses.
But you didn't have to kill him, did you?
I don't like cops on my neck.
Why did you have to kill him?
Because I had to, that's why. Now shut up.
You are listening to Confession. Before continuing with the documented record of the woman referred to as Doris Kane, the National Broadcasting Company is honored to present Mr. Richard A. McGee, Director of Corrections, Department of Corrections, State of California.
We in correctional work know the dangers that exist in exposing young people to evil influence. In tonight's case, three stages of crime are apparent. A narcotic addict who is already a hardened criminal, the younger user, who is well on the road to becoming both addict and criminal, and the adolescent girl, just exposed to evil influence. Without proper guidance and parental control, she too is destined for disaster. If you expect to help your own children keep out of trouble, know where they go and whom they are with. Most of all, let them know they are loved and respected by you. A child who feels rejected in the home will turn to wrong companions for acceptance.
Thank you, Mr. McGee. Now to continue with Confession and the documented record of the woman referred to as Doris Kane.
We kept driving west. We'd stop in different places on the way, sometimes a week, sometimes only a couple of days. We changed cars lots of times. Frank got them off parking lots. He always changed the license plates, putting on cold plates, he said. We kept on the move. It was almost 3 months now. And I guess the only reason I didn't run out was because I was married to Jimmy. Someplace near Denver, I got sick on the road and we had to stop. After I was all right, we went on again. I was afraid of Frank. He kept using more and more narcotics.
Doris?
Yeah?
You okay now?
I'm okay.
From now on, you earn your way.
What?
I said from now on, she earns her way. No more dead weight.
Now, listen.
You heard me. And I want you coming in on the job with me.
Jimmy.
Be easier with both of us where it counts. Use her for a lookout.
Why does she have to get into this?
Because she's here and we're feeding her, that's why.
Listen.
Now, you listen, Buster. After we hit the big job in Frisco, you're on your own. I don't care what you do. You take your cut and scram, but until then, I'm the boy.
I'm not going to do it.
It's just till we get to Frisco, honey.
I'm not going to do it.
I'll be depending on you, honey. You don't want me killed, do you?
Why can't you quit, Jimmy? What if they catch us?
That'll be up to you. Right, Frank?
That's right, Doris. It's up to you.
After that, I was the lookout. I don't remember how many holdups there were. It was all like a dream. When we got to San Francisco, we got a room in Richmond. That's across the bay. And Frank got a place in town. Frank had plans for this big job. That's what he called it, the big job. He didn't tell me any of the details. He didn't want me along on this one. For the first time, Jimmy was carrying a gun. I tried to talk to him before he left. Funny, you remember silly things. I remember the landlady was vacuuming in the hallway outside.
Listen, honey.
Don't do it, Jimmy, please.
This is the last one, honey, the last one. After this, we don't have to worry anymore.
I can't help worrying. Oh, Jimmy, everything. Everything.
What do you mean, everything?
Are you hooked now, Jimmy? Did Frankie hook you on the stuff so you can't do without it?
I use a little. Sure, I use. You know that. So what? Let's not talk about it, you hear?
Please, Jimmy. Please don't go today.
It's all set, honey. Now listen to me.
What if something goes wrong?
Nothing's going wrong. Now listen to me, will you? It's 3 o'clock. Frank will get back here at 5 with the money. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Okay. Frank and I are going to have to separate. I'll take the bus back here. It'll take longer, but it'll be safer. You'll be all packed and ready to go.
I don't like it, Jimmy.
The last job, honey. After that, we go south to where it's warm and find a place to settle down. After that, no more.
Be careful. Please be careful.
Now, don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. Goodbye, honey.
Jimmy. I didn't have a radio or a newspaper or anything. I just sat there and waited. Then I began to feel sick, sicker than I ever felt before. I thought it was because I was nervous or something. I went out and saw the landlady, and she told me to lay down, and she went for a doctor. The doctor came and gave me something and went away. After 6 o'clock, Jimmy came in. He was all out of breath. I was so glad to see him, I cried.
Bye, honey.
Jimmy!
No, honey, take it easy, honey. There's nothing to cry about. Everything was perfect, not a hitch.
Oh, I thought I'd never see you again.
Don't be silly. They can't hurt me. Where's Frank?
Oh, he's not here.
Not here? Well, I took the bus. He had the car. He should have been here long ago. Hey, maybe they picked him up.
You think they did?
Otherwise, he'd be here. Oh, boy, I hope not. I told him I should have taken part of the money. We haven't got any dough.
Jimmy.
Yeah?
Remember? I felt sick that time. Well, I got sick again. I had to have a doctor.
When?
While you were gone just now.
What was the trouble?
The doctor was here. He says I'm going to have a baby.
What?
That's what he said.
Honey.
Jimmy, what are we going to do?
A baby.
What are we going to do?
That's wonderful. When Frank gets here, we'll have a big celebration. That's what we're going to do. We'll celebrate all the way down to L.A. I wonder where he is. Frank's too smart for the cops. They never got him.
Did they see you?
I don't know. All I know is we can't stay here.
What about Frank? He's got the money. He's got the car.
I'll tell you what. We'll wait here till morning. Then I'll go down and get a paper. The paper will tell us whether they got him.
Jimmy, I'm scared.
Ah, don't worry, honey. Frank will be here. He's too smart for those dumb cops. He'll be here. Only, I'm getting the shakes. I sure could use a fix.
We didn't go to sleep. Jimmy took a fix and kept pacing the floor all night. I knew now that Jimmy was an addict, too. I got sick again. Finally, when the morning papers came out, Jimmy went down and got one. When he came back, his face was white.
How do you like that? How do you like that?
What's the matter?
Here it is, right here in the paper. But there's nothing about anybody getting caught. It says they got away. How do you like that? We've been left high and dry.
He's got all the money?
Every penny of it. He ditched us. He took the car and all the money and he ditched us.
Jimmy, we got to get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to. No car, no money. You going to have a baby?
We'll be all right, Jimmy.
Sure. Sure, we'll be all right. We'll clean up, honey. You and me. Who needs Frank anyhow? Only, without him, where can I connect for some stuff? And, Dory, I got to have it now. I got to have it.
Packed our bag and we left. We were pretty lucky. We hitched a ride out of town and then we got another ride. It was a small truck. The man was going all the way to Los Angeles. We rode a couple of hours and then I got to feeling sick again.
What's the matter, honey?
I don't feel well.
But you needed some coffee. If I didn't have my 3 cups in the morning, I wouldn't be fit to go out the door. That's what it means to me. My wife,
mister.
Said...
Yeah? This is a gun in my pocket.
What?
Don't get excited. Just turn down that side road.
Hey, what is this?
Don't talk. Just do as I say. This might go off.
Okay, take it easy.
That's fine. Now stop. Hand your wallet over here.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, I got all my identification in there. Take the money, but for Pete's
sake... The wallet, I said. Now get out.
This is plain stupid of you, buddy.
Get out. Walk around in front of the truck.
Where are you going, Jimmy?
Wait here. And hold this. Okay, mister. Turn around.
What are you going to do?
Just... Okay, honey.
Jimmy. Jimmy, you killed him.
He'll be okay. I just clunked him on the head. Gives us more time.
You shouldn't have done that, Jimmy.
Look in the wallet. How much is there in
it? You shouldn't have done...
Come on. How much is there?
Well, let's see. $20. Just one $20 bill.
$20? That's not bad. When we get to Merced, I'll make a connection and get a couple of caps. We'll ditch the truck, and we'll swipe a car someplace and pull a job that'll keep us a while.
Please, Jimmy, no more.
Are you crazy? We gotta have money. I gotta have it right away.
I'll get a job, Jimmy.
The cop's right behind us, and you're gonna get a job. Don't talk silly, honey. Our luck's hot. Besides, I know how to pull him now.
Maybe you killed him.
No,
Jimmy, we...
No. I didn't hit him that hard. Just hard enough to make him sleepy. I didn't kill him.
Maybe you did. Jimmy, what are we gonna do?
I told you.
I can't take it anymore. Running away. Always running away, and now you hooked. You hooked.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing. Only I...
You scared of something?
Yes, I'm scared. But not for myself. I'm scared for you.
If you don't like the setup, why don't you just pull out? Go ahead. Grab the first bus back home to Mama, why don't you?
Don't talk like that, Jimmy. I don't mean...
Hey.
What?
Frank. He doesn't know it, but he did me a real favor. Just when we needed a break. Good old Frank.
What is it, Jimmy?
I just happened to remember. A couple of weeks ago, Frank was telling me about a place. Drugstore in Fresno. That's real close to here. A pushover, he says. They'll probably have a big narco supply, too. We'll break it tonight, you and me.
I can't, Jimmy. They'll get us. I just can't.
Quit saying you can't. Now be quiet. I gotta think.
I tried to talk him out of it, but he only got madder. We ditched the truck in Merced, then Jimmy used up his last cap. About 9 o'clock that night, we got a ride into Fresno. We got something to eat. Then we went into a parking lot, took a black sedan, and got out of there fast. And we drove out to the place. It was closed. Jimmy was like a crazy man. He knew there was narcotics inside the store. I kept the motor running, and Jimmy went up to the front door. My heart was pounding harder than it ever did before. Jimmy kicked in the plate glass in the door and went inside. A bell started clanging. It was a burglar alarm. Then I saw the patrol car swing into the alley alongside the store, and I started flashing the lights and honking the horn. I could see Jimmy through the window. He ducked behind a showcase. One of the police was running toward the back of the building. The other ran in the front door. I ran in after him. Remember, I was screaming, "Jimmy, Jimmy," trying to be heard over the burglar alarm. And then the shots.
You too. What was the idea of running right in the line of fire?
Jimmy. What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do?
You're coming with us.
Oh. Our baby. Our baby.
What baby?
He was my husband. I'm gonna have a baby.
Baby? Let's have a look at you. Boy, you're just... You kid. There wasn't a dollar in that cash register. Somebody tried to break in last night. We picked him up.
Last night?
Frank?
Yeah, that's his name. Frank, Frank Leonard. You know him?
Frank! Sure, I know him. Oh, he's the one you should have killed.
You have just heard an actual confession. This case history of the woman referred to as Doris Keene is a matter of documented record. To protect the legal rights of this girl, names and places were changed or deleted. Technical advice for confession comes from the Office of the Director of Corrections, Department of Corrections, State of California. In a moment, you will again hear Doris Keene.
Doris Keene was arrested in Merced County, State of California, and tried under Section 700, sub MWIC. James R. Keene's body was claimed by his parents and returned to Cleveland for burial. Frank O'Leonard was extradited to Ohio to stand trial for murder, and the state of California has holds on him for grand theft auto, robbery, and burglary. Now, Doris Keene.
I made this broadcast in the hope that someone somewhere may benefit from our mistakes. My husband, Jimmy, was only 18 when he died. Frank's 23, and you might say his life's over, too. A lot of boys and girls are following in our footsteps and don't know it. I'm a ward of the Juvenile Court of Merced County at the El Retiro State School for Girls. I'll be a ward of the court until I'm 21. Because of my age, my baby will not have to be born in a prison, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful, too, that I escaped becoming a drug addict. I guess I'm most thankful of all for that because I've seen what it does to you. Can I?
Of course.
Good night, Mom.
This has been Confession, transcribed statements of actual crimes. These true tragedies are brought to you each week as an NBC Radio Network production in an effort to stem the nation's forward march of crime. Credit for this broadcast goes to our cast: Paul Fries, Joyce McCluskey, Virginia Gregg, Sam Edwards, Stacey Harris, Marvin Miller. Script supervision, Warren Lewis. Music, Michael Samogi. Direction, Homer Canfield. John Wall speaking. Confession, a Canfield-Lewis creation, came to you from California.
Tonight, it's Adventure with Barry Craig on NBC.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You are about to hear is an actual recording.
Go ahead, please. I make this confession of my own free will because it is true. There has not been any force or violence used upon my person to induce me to make these statements. Without promise of immunity or reward or gratuity, I confess.
You understand, of course, that your confession will be made public through the radio program Confession?
I do.
That your name for the purpose of this broadcast will be Martin Everett.
Yes, sir.
You understand all this, Martin?
Yes, sir. I don't think any of them out there, any at all, ever had it happen to them the way it happened to me. But maybe there is someone. If there is, heaven help them.
Listening to Confession, the case history of the young man referred to as Martin Everett is a matter of documented record. You will hear the story of his crime experience as told in his own words.
Martin Everett, please state your age.
20. 21 next month.
Your occupation?
Student. And as I used to study.
What were you specializing?
In ideas, you might say.
Did you attend high school in this city?
Yes, sir. Class valedictorian. Big man. Even a scholarship at the university.
Was this the only circumstance under which you could go to the university?
No, it wasn't. We're not poor. Father's an assistant professor right there on the campus. English lit. With me, it had to be a scholarship.
It's shoddy work, Martin. You'll have to rewrite it.
Look, Pop, it's late. I'm tired.
It's not even 9 o'clock.
You tell time with your stomach, not with a watch. I'm beat, Pop. I know what you want me to be.
You were when you won the scholarship.
I want a glass of milk.
Why won't you learn?
I'm sick of learning. It's not for me. It's never been for me. It's for you. What do you want, a genius in the family? I can't live success for you. I want to be free to be an ordinary guy just once, free from these stinking books. I'm not a scholar. I'm not great.
You have talent, Martin. Brilliance, even.
I got nothing.
You'll not speak to me like that.
I'm sorry. I feel sick.
You fix this essay.
Sure, give it here.
You'll obey me. You'll go upstairs and redo your work.
No, not tonight. Tonight I'm going to walk and breathe some clean air and be myself and forget it.
Martin.
Fixed.
Martin.
Please, Pop, for one night, will you try to understand?
I should have stayed home that night, but I guess the crazy way things started to happen, no matter where I went or what I did, it wouldn't have made any difference. I kept walking over to a crummy part of town. I wondered what I'd have been like if I was raised in a place like that. Kept thinking about it, and pretty soon my headache was gone. That was when I realized that somebody was following me. At least that's the way it seemed. I kept looking over my shoulder once I caught a look at him. He was kind of young,
about my age and build. I walked faster and tried to shake him off, but I couldn't. No matter what I did, he stuck with me, right behind me all the time. But he got scared, so I ducked into a drugstore.
Druggist is in the back.
I just want a drink. A root beer.
Well, sorry. Fountain's closed.
Okay.
You expecting someone?
Hmm? Oh, no. No.
Well, I guess there's no harm in giving you a root beer.
Thanks. Could I have it over there in the booth?
Sure. Take the booth. Here you are.
Martin Everett? Yeah? What?
Sit down. Plenty of room. How's your father?
Fine. Who are you?
Friend.
You were following me out there.
Yeah, easy, kid, easy. My name's Wally. I'm interested in you.
How do you know me?
I made a point out of knowing you.
Why me?
We were born on the same day, same hour. Yeah, that's a fact. I had to look up the records once and I saw your name. Well, I got curious about you. You know, you could have been me and I could have been you. Could have worked out like that. Maybe it did. Well, go ahead, drink.
Thanks.
Now, you live real good, don't you? I live around here, the other side of the tracks. Only around here there aren't even any tracks. That's how tough things are. And I wouldn't have your father on a bet.
He's all right.
Sure, everything's just fine. How much money you got in your pocket?
Look, what do you want from me?
Help. You help me, I help you. We get money. Look, I need a partner. And who do I think of? Brother Martin. In a way, we're brothers. You happy?
No.
I am. You buy the things you want?
Nobody buys the things they want.
That's me. Nobody. You're somebody. A great big ball of hate waiting to be pitched in somebody's teeth. You dope, you're not even free. You want to do a million things and you can't. You're afraid.
So?
Well, I'm not afraid. That's why I got dough. Me, personally, I got a personal bankroll. That's the best kind. Only now I need help.
Doing what?
When you need help, we'll get together. Like I told you, I'm usually around.
Now, you better finish that root beer. I gotta close up.
Hmm? Oh, yeah, sure.
Look, you don't happen to know that guy, do you?
What guy?
The one that was here.
Well, three or four people have been here since you came in.
Yeah, I guess. Well, thanks for the drink.
Oh, it doesn't cost 35 cents, you know.
That's all right. Do you keep it?
Well, thanks. That's worth one on the house if you come back.
Maybe I'll do that. Night.
Good night.
She was pretty. The waitress. She smiled when I left. I remember that now, but right then I was thinking about this other guy, this Wally. Doesn't sit too good when you find out somebody's been watching you, especially somebody talks as funny as he did. I mean, all that business about me being him and him being me. And then there was something I couldn't figure out. If he was following me outside, how did he get into that drugstore booth before I did? I didn't meet him again until one night I was studying and my father came home.
Martin?
In here, Pop.
Ugly night out. Too much rain for this season. Studying, Martin?
Mixing Leibniz and Spinoza.
What do you get?
A headache.
Oh, again?
It was a joke.
Yep. I'm glad we don't have to go through another struggle like last week.
No. Hey, look, Pop. There's some sweaters on sale at Sullivan's. You got a good price. It's a sale.
How much?
$15.
Dollars?
Yeah, certainly dollars.
Why, it's an outrageous figure for a simple sweater.
Okay. Should have known.
Going to study upstairs, Martin?
Yeah. Study.
Hi. Wally. How did you... What?
The window. Climbed the trellis. Don't worry about the bedspread. My shoes are clean.
Well, it's raining.
I couldn't help hearing the little discussion just now.
Look, you get out of here. Nobody invited you to this house.
Oh, I thought we were friends.
Hey, you thought? Well, now, do I call the police?
Not unless you don't want that sweater.
What's that got to do with it?
Look, I can guarantee you $20, maybe $30.
How?
Just watching and learning.
Learning what?
You still got that target pistol?
Didn't bother me too much. That's a funny thing. It was like I was just picking up somewhere where I'd left off. The thing that really bothered me was how Wally's shoes were so dry when it was raining out. Well, we went down the trellis.
Okay. All you have to do is watch and make sure nothing happens that I don't see.
Let's get it over with, huh?
Leave it to me.
Well, can I help you, son?
Bottle of bourbon.
Well, I'm afraid you're a little too young for that.
Am I old enough for this?
Look now, look, son.
You don't mean anything to me, get it? Not a thing. A bullet can burn your stomach, I'll feel no pain. And give me the money in that register. Just the bills. Thanks. Thanks.
I ran when it was over. Must have been awful panicky because I don't even remember Wally. We just blazed out of that store and he shoved the money in my hand, $26. And you wouldn't think this, but that night I slept real sound, like I was dead or something. For more than a week, I didn't let myself think about what we'd done. And one evening, I was lying on the bed, and two things kind of got tangled up in my mind. Wally and the waitress at the drugstore. I didn't have many friends. I guess I didn't mention that, but I didn't, and I don't. Now, there was a kind of a friend thing between me and Wally, and there was that girl. So I went down to the drugstore again. I just went and sat in the same booth where I could watch her. She didn't see me. After a while, Wally was there at the counter, talking to her.
You're different tonight.
I'm different every night. Man of a thousand moods.
Man? You look like a college boy.
It's just one of my many moods. Some nights you gotta let me demonstrate.
Great. You want that root beer?
I do. I certainly do. Hey, what's your name?
Joan Anders.
I'm Wally.
Wally what?
Anything you like. That's my charm. How much for the drink?
Told you it was on the house.
Oh, an elegant gesture. When's your night off, Joan?
Next Wednesday.
Wednesday for sure.
It made me sore the way he acted. So smart and smug with her. The way she ate it up. It didn't help any that she seemed to have me all mixed up with him. I mean, a root beer on the house and everything. I guess we did look kind of alike, though. As soon as she went down to the other end of the counter, Wally came and sat in my booth like he knew I was waiting for him.
How's the boy?
Fine.
Short of dough?
Oh, so-so.
Well, let's go.
Look, Wally, I don't want to...
Well, what'd you come here for? You came here looking for me, didn't you?
I guess so.
Okay, let's get going. You've got something to square away.
Know where you are? You kidding? Sure I know. This is the university.
And this building right here?
It's Beaton Hall. Girls' dormitory.
Yeah. The rich ones live here. Those Wrigley ones with the football players on the string and 10 trunks full of clothes. And jewelry. That's a fire escape, Marty. And an open window up there.
Wally, this is my territory. I can get into trouble here.
Sure it's your territory. What do you think we're here for? Those dames ever give you a tumble? You owe them something?
No.
What are you waiting for?
We went up the fire escape and into the girl's room. She was asleep. At least I prayed she was. A bit of light coming through the window caught her across the face and shoulders. I don't know what it was she was wearing, but it wasn't pajamas. You could see her skin.
was awfully white. Only her closed eyelids were dark and sort of shiny.
A dressing table. Take a look. Nothing. First drawer. That box. Open it.
Are they real?
Their jewelry is always real. Get going.
Wally. She's watching us. She's awake. The girl just sat there in bed, stiff and trembling, even more scared than I was. I got out. Fast. Couldn't stand the look on Wally's face, or the girl's. It was Wally's idea, not mine. Not Martin Everett. So I made a dash for the fire escape, and I got down somehow. I listened. She didn't scream or anything. I thought that was strange, but the main thing was getting away from there. Soon I was sneaking across my own lawn to the rose trellis.
Martin. Pull yourself together. It's me, Wally.
You got out okay?
She knew you.
I don't think so.
I think she did. I killed her.
How?
With this. You knew I was going to. I did.
You are listening to Confession. Before continuing with the documented record of the young man referred to as Martin Everett, the National Broadcasting Company is honored to present Mr. Richard A. McGee, Director of Corrections, Department of Corrections, State of California.
Many crimes are committed by persons who are mentally ill. Schizophrenia, or split personality, is a common form of mental disease which can lead to criminal acts. Stevenson's story, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, is the classic example in literature. Tonight's case is obviously that of a schizophrenic, a person who has created an alter ego on whom to blame the crimes he himself commits. The only way to prevent such a person from becoming criminal is to recognize the clinical symptoms early and seek professional aid before it is too late. Schools, medical centers, and law enforcement agencies in your community would be ready and most anxious to help.
Thank you, Mr. McGee. Now to continue with Confession and the documented record of the young man referred to as Martin Everett.
I looked at the knife in his hand, a kitchen knife. It was ours. I knew the nick on the handle. Wally disappeared into the night, and somehow I got up the trellis to my room, put the knife way back in the closet along with the jewels. And then I turned the light on. There was blood all over the front of my shirt. I didn't know how I got there. It was Wally killed her, not me. I kept saying it over and over, but I wasn't sure. I tried to figure out about the blood on my shirt. Blood from the murder Wally committed. I thought of everything I knew about him, the way he came and went and sort of took control of everything, the way he said we were born on the same day. We were brothers. It frightened me even to think about it. That night, I didn't sleep so good.
Terrible. Just terrible.
What's that, Pop?
Now, that girl who was killed last night, she was one of my students.
What to say about her?
Whoever did it used a knife. Dreadful. The police think it was done by some maniac.
But that's crazy.
Yeah, to put it mildly.
You going to school with me?
No.
No, thanks.
Right then, I began to be afraid all the time. And I knew one thing. I had to get away from Wally. I didn't want him coming to the house anymore. So in a couple of days, I went back to the drugstore to finish it off once and for all. He was in a booth.
I've let you do what you wanted, haven't I?
No. What you wanted.
You didn't object so hard.
Look, what if they connect me up with these things?
How can they? You're a college boy. You never did anything bad in your life.
Well, what about you? If they catch you, will you talk?
You ought to know. Besides, I never get caught.
Take it easy.
Well, where you been?
Hey, tomorrow's Wednesday. Our date still on?
Well, I guess.
Any ideas about what to do?
I always depend on the boy for ideas.
I got a few nifties.
Well, if worse comes to worse, I can think of a couple myself. Want to order anything?
A few minutes, maybe.
Just send me a telegram.
Well, how am I doing, Marty?
You treat her nice, you hear me?
Oh, it's to you. Hey, you kind of like her, don't you? But you don't know about girls like her. Things are different on that other side of town.
That girl in the dormitory.
What girl?
A girl you...
Shut up. Think about it, understand? It didn't happen. You've got nothing to be ashamed of. It just didn't happen. Now, when do we go out again?
I'm scared, Wooly.
Now? With me?
No. Just when I'm alone.
And we'll fix things so you aren't alone so much. Now, do like I say. Tonight we've got business. And a lot of nights from now on, I'll be waiting for you outside.
Yeah. I guess you will. Can I talk to you for a second?
You ready to order now, lover?
I think you're confusing me with that other fella, Wally.
Oh, man of a thousand moods again.
Joan, just don't go out with him. Please.
Why?
He's dangerous.
Well, he better be a little dangerous, or I won't go out with him anymore. I don't be late tomorrow.
There it was again, a mix-up between me and Wally. It's when I first got the idea that everything was wrong as it could be. That night I was a filling station, I think. Next night, Wally didn't keep his date with Joan. He stood her up, and there was some kind of robbery. I don't remember real well because I was in a daze most of the time. What was real, Wally or me? I thought maybe there wasn't any Wally. Maybe it was all me or just part of me. Maybe I was crazy and imagined it all. Why would I do a thing like that unless I was a murderer and a thief? Because I wanted to be. Come in.
Martin?
Yeah, Pop?
Mind if I sit on the edge of the bed a minute?
Yeah, I'll move over.
I've been thinking about you and me. Perhaps, Martin, you're right. We're trying to make something of you that you're not.
Yeah, I guess you're disappointed.
Yes, I am. What would you like to do?
Oh, I'd like to be a sharpshooting student who'd win all kinds of honors for you. I'd like everybody to be proud of me.
Well, the last part can still be.
Pop, let me have another fling at it. I'll work. I didn't want to work before, but now I do. I want to make something of myself. I don't want to be what I am now.
I don't think that's so bad, Martin. You're a fine boy. I'd like to see us get along better.
Yeah, we will, Pop.
Well, then try it again if you want. And if you decide to quit, do something else, that's all right with me.
That's the deal. I hit the books again, harder. For a month, maybe I didn't even think about Wally. Then I got restless. At night, I'd toss around my bed and think about Wally and Joan. The waitress. I remembered the way she looked at Wally. I remembered that girl in the dormitory and the way her shoulders looked in the moonlight. I sure wanted to see that Joan again.
Hello, Martin.
Wally.
It's been a long time.
But leave me alone.
That's easy to say.
I'm done with that other business.
You want some excitement? Be honest with yourself, Marty. What is it, on or off? You want to get something out of your system, or don't you?
Please, Wally, nothing bad this time, huh? Nothing real bad.
Sure. Nothing bad.
I didn't go home for dinner that night. I just walked around with my notebook under my arm. I didn't really have any place to go. I thought about a movie, but there was nothing worth seeing. Then I saw one of those bathing suit ads in the signboard, and I thought about Joan. When I got down to the drugstore, she was just leaving for the night. I didn't say anything to her. She didn't see me as usual, so I just followed her. And suddenly, Wally was there again, ahead of me on the street, between me and Joan. He was following her, too. She put her key in the door of a slummy little house. That's when Wally stepped forward.
Joan,
Well, look who's here. Man of many moods. You sure got your nerve.
You mad at me?
Oh, no. You can stand me up anytime you want.
Can I at least come in and explain?
Well, I don't want to hear any of your wild stories.
Can I, Joan, please?
I've just got one room here.
Anybody else around?
No. People who own the house are away.
Can I?
Sure. Come on in.
Okay.
You know, you're a funny guy.
Well, what's funny about me?
I don't know. You're so moody. But I like you. Maybe it's because I know you're crazy.
What did you say?
You're crazy. You know, you're crazy.
I couldn't stand it anymore. She put her hands on my shoulders. I could feel them there. But it was Wally's face she was smiling up into. Wally, I hated him then more than I ever hated anything, because I knew just what he was going to do to her and then what he'd been doing to me. I wanted to kill him. Just kill him. So I slugged him over and over. It felt wonderful. That's what I wanted to do ever since I'd met him. I choked him. My arms and my hands and my shoulders ached, but I kept it up until I was through. Till I knew he was dead. Only, when he fell, it wasn't Wally at all. It was Joan. I killed her. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't. I tore a piece of paper out of my notebook, and I began to write. Please. Please.
Please, somebody catch me before I kill again. That's what it says, Martin.
Officer, I fail to see what that message has to do with my son.
Perhaps you'd better wait downstairs in your living room, Mr. Abbott.
But I have a right, please.
Very well.
Is this your school notebook, Martin?
Where'd you find that?
The room of the murdered girl. Anything you want to tell me? Mind if I look through your closet?
I'll get the evidence for you.
Did you do it?
That's hard to say. Wally did some of it. He made me do the rest.
Who's Wally?
Wally? Well, I'm Wally, of course. I guess.
You have just heard an actual confession. This case history of the young man referred to as Martin Everett is a matter of documented record. To protect the legal rights of this person, names and places were changed or deleted. Technical advice for confession comes from the Office of the Director of Corrections, Department of Corrections, California. In a moment, you'll again hear Martin Everett.
The subject was sentenced to life imprisonment under the custody of the State Director of Corrections. Found to be insane, the subject was placed in the California Medical Facility, Terminal Island, where he has been given extensive psychotherapy and electroshock therapy. Now, Martin Everett.
The reason I'm making this broadcast is to try to explain how a terrible thing like that can happen to a person. There's plenty I don't understand about it, although a lot of psychiatrists and doctors have tried to explain it to me, but I know this. Wally was still alive that night after I thought I'd killed him. But now he doesn't bother me anymore. Maybe he's really dead. But I guess the doctors will tell me when he is. And we'll see about me.
This has been Confession, transcribed statements of actual crimes. These true tragedies are brought to you each week as an NBC Radio Network production in an effort to stem the nation's forward march of crime. Credit for this broadcast goes to our cast: Paul Fries, Lamont Johnson, Warren Stevens, John McIntyre, Charlotte Lawrence. Writer, Richard Allen Simmons. Music, Michael Samogi. Script supervision, Warren Lewis. Direction, Homer Canfield. John Wall speaking. Confession, a Canfield-Lewis creation, came to you from California.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.